Right, well, it's that time of the week where we talk to the former Leeds United chairman, Ken Bates. Ken, how are you doing today?
Good morning, very well. Sun shining and temperature up. But so you know, I'm back in Monaco.
I was going to say, it's quite a bit better than the weather in England. Well, we are going to first of all have a look at what's happening at Leeds United. And last Saturday, there were a number of protests which happened before the 2-1 win over Bolton Wanderers. Ken, what did you make of it?
Well, you know, they were a bit of fun, making a nuisance of themselves. This is not going to make any difference, is it? But what they don't seem to realise is that what a terrible image it gives of Leeds United to the outside world. Because we know that only a few people organised the protest and took part in it. But that's the bit that gets the publicity. And it's already said, mash him out. Who's going to come in? They haven't thought about that, have they? And what's more important, who would want to come in if they've got... If they got enough money to be able to put money into Leeds United, they've probably got more sense than to do it because of the fickleness displayed by a few fans, one of them or more, organised a plane in 2007 saying Bates out. And we looked at it and looked away and carried on watching the game. And protests. But where the alternative come from? Remember, was it Mr. Twaits, I think it was? Leading Leeds Fans United or something. They're supposed to raise £400,000. I think nothing came of that. Steve Parkins nearly bought the club again. So where is the future of Leeds? In fact, I met Mr. Cellino for a matter of business yesterday morning, and he just looked at me with incomprehension. And just told him it goes with his job. Nothing he can do about it. And when's the last time a Yorkshireman put any money in Leeds United? So apart from Andrew Flowers, who of course put in by way of sponsoring the shirts last year, and all he's got is a bloody nose for his efforts. When's the last man invested in Leeds United by way of shares? I think it was Leslie Silver. That's how far back you get. So it's all very well for people saying, time to go Massimo. Who's going to come in? Who's going to pay the wages? And that's what people should be thinking about. I think Massimo knows he made a few mistakes. But that's what serious-minded Leeds fans should be thinking about and discussing. Where do we go from here? Now, at the moment, you have Massimo, who controls the club and put a lot of money into it. And by the way, on that, drifting about slightly, David Haig is now going to be tried. He's coming to trial. I think it's next week, on a charge of slander through his Twitter account. There's only one problem, he hasn't got one. Because since he's been in jail 2014, he hadn't had a mobile phone. He hadn't allowed any equipment at all, so he can have a Twitter account. Somebody else is doing it in his name. So it's watch this space with interest. But meanwhile, get behind the team. Now two or three games in a row. Looking good. Cardiff was unexpected. Good win. Now climbing up the table. We won't hit the playoff places, but we're not going to get relegated. So once again, I would urge Mr. Evans to take in turn, to blood the kids in turns, give them experience, a taste of what it's like playing before 20,000 people. It's unnerving the first time you do it. And then maybe during the game, get behind the team, not the petty squabbles and silly demonstrations.
I was going to ask about Steve Evans because obviously there was a lot of pressure on him after the loss to Brighton, but now after two wins in a row, it looks all of a sudden like the pressure's been lifted a little bit.
Well, in football, the pressure's never lifted. It's always the next game. And it's always the next game. So the pressure should be on. That's all part of the fun of being a football fan. Oh, one last thing in me to mention, which I almost forgot. There's this silly rumour that's been going around for years that I own, through some company or something, I own both Ellen Road and Thorpe Park. And one of the other rumours, silly rumours, is that that means Massimo can't do a lot without my approval or say-so, which is total rubbish. But that's the kind of nonsense that's talked about on Twitter and in pubs and coffee shops by people who just pass on the gossip, not without finding out whether there's any truth in it. Although it was Risdale that put the club into trouble by overspending, but the trouble is Yorkshire Consortium only put up £5 million of the 20 purchase price. Morris did the deal because he sold it to Jacob Adler, who is a property man based in Manchester. In fact, he's a nice guy. So I have nothing to do with Leeds United, other than continue to wish it well and hope David Haye gets out of jail soon. They can tell the full story. And I'll repeat that once more for those people hard of hearing or not paying attention. It is not true that I have anything to do with the ownership of Ellen Road or Thorpe Park. At the moment, nor does Massimo. I understood one deal he had to buy Thorpe Park, or one of the two, the deal fell through because of certain supporter demonstrations that didn't go down too well with would-be lenders. That's something else you fans should think about before you do your silly protests. Seems clever and funny at the time, but cost your beloved club an awful lot in goodwill and support. I wonder why we said I've got a shirt sponsor.
We're going to have a look at what's happened at FIFA, and this obviously just keeps on unravelling. More evidence is being collected. Just what are your thoughts on what's happening at the moment with FIFA?
The more you uncover, the more the more you uncover, that leads you on to the next line of investigation. It's interesting now that the French football authorities are being investigated, run by Platini. And who knows what that will come out of. What will come out of that? Because Platini has been a great supporter of Blatter for the last few years now. Now it's beginning to ask questions. Is UEFA similar? I must say, coming back from London yesterday, I was at Chelsea Football Club where they're playing Paris Saint-Germain last night. And the night before there were no less than 10 big cars, chauffeur-driven cars, from UEFA delegates for one game. But who knows? Be an ongoing saga sometime. Now, of course, we've got another problem. Maria Sharapova. There's so many conflicting stories about her that you don't really know where to start or what to think. And the investigations are taking a bit too long, I think, as far as the IAF is concerned. Because Seb Coe, Lord Coe, or Seb Coe, as I used to know him, is faced with a big dilemma. Because according to the Olympic rules, Russia should be banned from it. Just works out whether Seb Coe has got the guts to do that, or whether some excuse or loophole or something be found to overlook it. Time would tell.
So Donald Trump has won 3 more seats, and it looks like he will be one of the favourites to gain the presidency. Do you think he'd do a good job if he did gain the role?
Well, he's a successful businessman, and he created lots of jobs in lots of countries for lots of people. But the real serious, more serious question is, how poor must the Republicans, well, and the Democrats, people be, how poor can they be, if people like Trump and Hillary Clinton can be the front runner to be the next president? I personally shudder to think. I mean, I'm in favour of Trump, and because the rest looks so useless, quite frankly. They certainly shake up the institution. Hillary Clinton, what's she ever done in her life other than being a president's wife? But in any case, you listen to her speeches. God almighty. They're just terrible. And Trump says the unsayable and thinks the unthinkable. But on the other hand, his opposition are poor. Terrible. We've already one dropped out. It's going to be fun through November. And it'll be even more fun in January when they have the inauguration. But we have our own problems near at home. And I'm not sure whether our beloved leader, Mr. Cameron, not sure to compare him to Trump or to Clinton. They certainly seem to be kind of useless. I mean, I've been a choice, as I said before, I've been a choice all my life. But after Major, I almost welcomed Blair, because he talked a good game. After 13 years of Blair, I was relieved and applauded Cameron coming in. I made excuses for his first tenure because I blamed it on Clegg. But now he's the Prime Minister, has an overall majority, and he can do what he wants. Except when he wants to change Sunday trading, which he lost yesterday. But the fact of the matter, he's a very disappointing person. He's not delivering what he promised. I can't understand the logic of a man who said, I'm going to get major structural change in Europe, and when I've got it, we'll have a referendum, and the people will make up their own minds, whether they want to stay in or get out. He goes to Europe. The so-called reforms and changes he claimed are marginal. And now there's a question of whether they're even legal. And now he's campaigning for us to stay in. But there's no coherent argument. He does say we'll be better in, we'll be safer in, bar-de-bar-de-bar. And he doesn't produce any facts and figures to justify his claim. Let me put a few thoughts to want facts, not just wild sweeping statements. But they say, oh, we sold, I think, 300,000-400,000 cars to Europe last year. Maybe we did. We bought 700,000 cars from Germany in the same year. So Germany going to put tariffs on cars? That could rebound. And if you look at the map of Europe, we've got Europe, mainland Europe. Then you have United Kingdom, then you have Ireland, and then you have 3,000 miles of water. Now, Ireland sell half of their exports to England, to Britain. Are they going to start putting up tariffs? And most of their, rest of their exports, I believe, go to Europe through, via England. Or do they want us to put on a transit tax? All this fear-making mumbo-jumbo. They didn't tell you very much. Don't back any figures up. Right, so then one man stands out and says he believes we should leave Brexit to resign. The civil service are refusing to give information to the Brexit campaigners. The civil servants are employees. They're servants. They don't rule the country. They run it. Not very well at times. But this is discrimination. There's thuggery and intimidation by the people who want to remain against people who want to leave, which is stopping proper debate, proper facts and figures. I mean, they destroyed the fishing industry, and this is important for Yorkshire, and they destroyed the farming industry. There's room where another 12,000 dairy farmers are going to get out this year. And yet Cameron and his cohorts claim that they look after our industry. Well, hang on. There's two industries that have not been mentioned. We had a steel industry once, you remember? We used to make our own iron and steel and put it in our buildings. And we've lost that one. And we've lost our steel industry while being in the European Union. And we had a coal industry. That's just about finished now. And within the EEC. So it's a fallacy, or even a lie, to say that our trade and commerce is safer inside the EU. It's not, it's better out. We're the fifth biggest economy in the world, and people like Spain, Portugal, Greece, they hang on to our coattails, to our expense. £350 million a week. We pay in taxes, the EEC, get nothing back. Just think what we could do in our country with 350 million extra pounds every week. Having got rid of all the rubbish, the human rights, called the European Human Rights Court, half of whom are not qualified lawyers. We used to have quite a good country once before we had all this red tape. We could have it again. Anyway, tell us about the box.
Well, yes, the box competition, and obviously you do get a fantastic experience. And, well, the competition we've got at the moment is one of the big games of the season, the big Yorkshire derby between Leeds United and Huddersfield Town. And obviously you get a match programme.
West Yorkshire bragging rights.
West Yorkshire bragging rights on the line indeed. And you get a free course meal, a match day programme, luxury padded seats. You get match time betting, half-time tea, coffee and biscuits as well. And all you need to do to enter is answer this qualifying question. It is, how many goals did Leeds score at the John Smith Stadium in the reverse fixture this season on Saturday the 7th of November? Is it A1, B2 or C3? And to enter, you have to text DAB and your answer A, B or C to 84383.
Well, good luck. And interesting that on that, I just received an email this morning. As you know, the last home game, we gave it to a charity called Box for Kids. These are for kids who are suffering serious illnesses. And they came for the Bolton game. And the letter of thanks, which is very kind, says, great, delicious food, great hospitality, wonderful VIP treatment. And the Leeds United staff could not have done more in could not have done enough for the kids. And he went to the trouble of bringing up a cake and gift on the boys whose birthday it was. So it is a great experience. And for the lucky people that get it, good luck. But you know the old saying, if you want to win the lottery, you've got to buy a ticket. So if you want to come to this game as our guest and enjoy a great game, great day out, here comes the way to enter again. In case you weren't listening properly the first time. Over to you.
Over to me. And to enter then, the question is, how many goals did Leeds score at the John Smith Stadium in the reverse fixture this season on Saturday the 7th of November? Is it A1, B2 or C3? And to enter, you've got to text DAB and your answer A, B or C to 84383. Text only the words DABA or DABB or DABC and the text costs £1 plus your standard message rate.
Good luck to all our listeners and viewers.